I want to get to the sermon today. Our youth will know this. Can you say, I want to get better? I want to get better. This is a series I did a long time ago based off of this. This is a different sermon that I'm doing, but this song really resounded with me as I was preparing this last week. This is a song by a band called The Bleachers. I am not endorsing this band. This is not a Christian band. In fact, when I explain to you what this song is about, you will know why. It's clean. There is no swearing or anything in it. But about 10 years ago, this song came out, and I heard it on the radio. I'm always trying to keep my ears perked up to the heart cry of our culture and what's going on in the world. One of the worst things you could do is be completely uninformed and detached on what people are going through and what they need. How many of you know the gospel and his word is relatable to what we're going through today? Right? A large focus of what I'm talking about today is you being in your word and the importance of that word and how it equips you to help people who are going through things. And it starts with yourself. Now let's talk about this song. I want to get better. I did some digging. I read all the lyrics and I watched an interview on the guy who wrote the song. And just the heart behind it, he was saying, he talked about this universal thing that we've all felt when we're struggling, feeling empty, and really wanting to be better. Just that when you're at the bottom of the barrel type of a thing. He talks about hearing like a TV, faith, that's not working for him. And while I know there are some that I don't like, I don't think all TV preachers are bad. I don't believe that at all. But I do understand the feeling of detachedness he's talking about in that song. The drugs and the partying, the things that he has seen his friends doing, and it just leaving him feeling empty. He talks about giving all of his love and his heart to a young, pretty face, and it not being good, and it breaking him, and not being what he was looking for. He just goes on and on and on and talks about the things that he just gets carried away with. I get carried away, I get carried away, I get carried away. He says it several times, which is quick reminder, in case you didn't need to be reminded, that sin will always take you farther than you intended to go. We usually say yes to something that's going to be a quick gratification that we don't see past, and sin always is like, we're going to go all the way over here. That's how it works. This is where he found himself trapped, is in that getting carried away. So much so that to the point where he talks about bluntly, in a roundabout way, suicide crosses his mind. This obviously didn't happen. He's done the interview and he's wrote the song. But getting to the point where he was considering ending it all because he felt so trapped. The chorus of the song he repeats over and over is he says, I didn't know I was lonely till I saw your face. I didn't know I was broken till I wanted to change. That is a heart cry for God if I have ever heard one. I don't know where he's at and what message he's landed on. The end of the song was definitely not one of finding God. I didn't see redemption in this song yet, but I saw a heart cry for really wanting to be better and not just like, hope you have a better day. Like, my life, I want to be better. He's listing all these ways that brokenness has riddled through him as everything that he's tried has not made him who he feels like he's supposed to be. Just this lingering and this longing to be better. He's lost. Pretty clear message, right? And I start thinking about us as a church and all the things that we talk about, deal with, and who we are on a weekly basis, and we struggle with all those same things. There are some of you in here who have contemplated suicide. The lust, the emptiness, the brokenness, all of these things, it's us too. Now, coming off of this amazing series that culminated at Easter with our risen King, champion, and how he is our champion, in light of that, I've just found myself asking a question: what's the difference between us and there, us in here, and them out there? Do you legitimately have the answer? I want to challenge your faith a little bit and ask, is maybe your faith one that is just kind of feel good on a Sunday morning, or has this actually made you better outside of a Sunday morning church service? I want to be better. That is a very broad, open-ended thing. And I don't want a vain pursuit of being better for the rest of my life, but I do want the pursuit of being closer to God and improving and growing till the day I die. That's what's going to happen. You haven't arrived. But there should be something inside of us that has equipped us. You should be equipped to help deal with some of these issues according to the scripture and your own personal growth. And this morning, if you have found yourself at a place of not growing anymore, you've stopped thriving after Christ, you've stopped achieving, not achieving in a strength and a works-based thing, but growing in your faith and moving forward with your intimacy with God and seeing spiritual growth happen inside of you, I want to challenge you and maybe throw some fire on that and burn up the things that need to be burned. I think we regularly can find ourselves, if you're honest with yourself, which is going to be the theme of today, is honest with ourselves, you will see that we all find ourselves at a spot of saying, I want to be better. You tell me where. You tell me where you're struggling. You tell me where you want to grow. You tell me where you've been lacking for a long time. You tell me what mentality and heart space you've been at that has needed to be challenged. And you have found yourself alone in the dark saying, I don't want to struggle with this anymore. This is a heart cry that I heard of the young man singing on the radio 10 years ago. Three questions I will have for you to truthfully ask yourself today. I want you to write them down, lock them away mentally, put them in your phone, whatever. But three questions we'll cover today that I want you to truthfully ask yourself. But first, I want to read a text together, and then we're going to break this down a couple of verses at a time. This is one of my all-time favorite passages of Scripture, probably in the top three. Maybe tied for top two. Ask me later. I don't care. The youth got a little taste of this Tuesday night. For the word of God, this is Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Have you felt that yet? That's not just something we feel on judgment day. That's something you will guarantee to feel at the end. But you can experience that right now. It is a comfort and a conviction that there is nothing to hide in the eyes of the Creator. He sees straight through to who you are, what you intend, what you desire, and where you are going. Makes me feel covered and safe by the Father. It also convicts the daylights out of me. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So good. That is so good. Right? Y'all could be a little more verbal today. First service was smaller than y'all, and they were much louder. I'm not making it a competition, but thank you. So my first question for you is, are you honest with yourself and the Lord? That's my first question. Are you honest with yourself and the Lord? You could even ask yourself this, do I allow the Lord to be honest with me? You won't hear it if you don't want to. Now, I'm not going to say God can come in and do whatever he wants. He can be the loudest voice in the room and there will be nothing you can do about it. But we also, and you have experienced the ability to silence the conviction that God has tried to bring you. You also have avoided time to be with God at times. I know that. Do you really want to hear what he has to say? And are you able to look at yourself in the mirror and be honest with who you are and where you're at? This applies to all ages, young and old. Let's reread verse 12 through 13 together. For the word of God is living and active. It is alive. It is sharp. It is looking to move. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, to the core of who you are, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Let's keep going. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes, to whom we must give account. Discerning the thoughts and intentions. Discerning our heart. That is powerful. Don't overcomplicate or muddy the water with what ifs in your life and temporary feelings. Let's keep it clean. This is something that while you may not be, maybe you've struggled with where you are mentally, emotionally, and spiritually for a while, but a luxury that you could have when you're alone with your own thoughts and with God is, let's be super honest. I don't care about what narrative you've spoken to yourself in the past or to other people. I'm talking about you as an individual being very real and practical with yourself alone with God and being honest and talking about where we are and what's keeping you from growing or being the best you that you can be. Don't linger in the past. Don't stay on the what ifs. What if that happened, or what if I did this in the future? Let's stay right where we are when it comes to our motives, our intentions, and discerning who we are. And this is always going to come back to another one of my favorite words, desire. Desire. What do you really want? What do you really crave? What are you really looking for? Because this is why some of us can't be alone with our thoughts very often or not have noise in the background. We're scared to be alone because we don't like what we hear. We don't want to deal with things. But what you desire will come up. Here's some good news. Proverbs 2, 3 through 5. And the idea of seeking out God's wisdom and knowledge and the fear of him over anything else, this is what his word says. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. Do you want insight? I hope so. Do you really want understanding into who you are, into what's going on? What does God have to say? If you're really raising your voice for that, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The problem is we don't always put that seek it like silver kind of desire on it. You have not been abandoned. You are not alone. Our sin and our selfishness isolates ourselves. But God, above any other person, is there for us. And he's saying, if you seek me, you will find me. And in fact, the things that he's highlighting here, if you desire it and you put a value on it like precious silver, then you will begin to have understandings and seek to know the fear of God in your life. It's there for us. So let's just be honest and real. Why don't we put into practice what this looks like day to day? It might take time for you to turn off the radio on the way to work or making sure we're setting some time aside to get in the Word and to really hear God. But you tell me relationally where you're at with him. You like the pastor doing the work for you and telling you what's what? Are you able to spend time with God and in his Word to really discern for yourself what's happening and what's going on? Are you honest with yourself, and do you allow him to be honest with you? And then we talk about these muddy feelings, the water's getting unclear, and not always able to discern what's going on in this season or the time. Just because I say things are simple doesn't mean it feels like that all the time. Let's look for some clarity. We're going to go to Galatians. And this is funny. Most of the time when I'm looking for clarity or I'm doing a search or a study on clarity, I often find myself back to the fruit of the Spirit, because it helps to simplify and clarify things for me. So let's do that. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 24. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Can we just be done now? That's pretty clear, right? Are you living for your flesh, or are you living according to the Spirit? What's in charge? Some of you have lives that are given to Jesus. You're submitted, you're saved, you're born again, but in those moments, you still go back to the flesh being in charge and making those decisions. Hey, been there, done that. Hi. Yeah, I get it. Can you be honest about it, and can we see if we're growing? This growth that I'm talking about is the one where, like, as months go by in your life, you can look back and see that you're not the same. If a year goes by and you're struggling with the same exact things and there's been no growth, I think we've already established that's a you problem. That's not an everyone else problem. It's not a culture issue. It's not a home issue. It's not a whatever. This is a me and God and my corrupt heart issue. And I've got to be honest with myself and look to start taking some concrete steps to change some things. Some of us are not there yet because we are not feeling that same brokenness that my brother was singing about in the beginning of that song. And it might take that for you to be there. Unfortunately, there he highlights all these places that he finds himself till he gets to the place where he screams, I want to get better. But there is simple truth in the Word of God that will help bring clarity to where you're at in life. It feels good to have that as a guiding light. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Frustrating, isn't it? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They are evident. The law of God is written on the hearts of man. They have a bad time articulating it and putting it together, but even most atheists would agree murder is wrong. The reason why we know is because the law of God is written on the heart of man. We just haven't subjected our heart to him. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these things. Like these things. Just again, if you find yourself trying to justify things in your life, which we all can be there, we can all be alone with our thoughts and justify the things that we crave in the moment or want to do. This wasn't on that list. He wasn't writing an exhaustive list of all the sins that you could do. If it's anything like these things, and if you can't put that together, you're farther from God than maybe you realize. That bad. Right? Yes? That bad. Super simple. But I'm looking for clarity. What is good? I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified, the flesh and its passions and its desires. Intermission. Pause. For those of you who are not saved and do not profess Christ as King of your life, if you have not bent the knee, this is where it stops. You get off the ride. There is no getting better and growing past that. It's for those who have died with Christ. This is your first step. If you're struggling this morning and you're saying, I want to get better, but I can't, and you don't know God, that's going to be the thing that opens the door first and foremost for you. This is where this young man did not go at that season of his life, unfortunately. He kept looking for other things to fill the God-shaped hole that we all have. But nothing is going to fill that hole but Jesus. Intermission over. For the rest of us. If it produces joy, true joy, like the things that we're struggling with and we're wanting to get better, does it look like the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the flesh? This is that clarity that I'm talking about having in our life. When I'm talking about being honest and not muddying the waters or trying to justify things, nothing we're struggling with right now is new. No new sin. The things that you struggle with today are the same exact things that the ancient Egyptians struggled with. It's always been lust. Just because you have one of these and this is another vehicle for lust and gossip and wastefulness and anger and dissensions and this and that or whatever other technology and things we have in our life, pride is always still just pride. Envy is just envy. This is the simplicity that we're talking about. I don't care about the relational complications and all the nuances of your life and the names and the places and all that stuff. Like, again, I have grace for your unique situations, and I know that there are things that are outside of your control, but be honest and tell me what is in your control when it comes to your heart and your thoughts. If it's producing lust and that's what you're chasing after, it's not good. You pick something off the list. You look at your day. You look at your schedule. You look at the things that you struggle with or you want to be better at, and you tell me what the fruit of it is. Don't overcomplicate it. Let's go back to the simplicity and the basics of our faith, because at the core of it, there's so many amazing things to learn in the Bible, but the gospel is very simple. And when we get better, we get better and grow at helping other people be better. That's another part of the gospel. But we cannot inherit the kingdom of God if we live for the other things. Desire matters. And one of the things that I have great hope for when it came to myself and any other people that I talk to is not just those that are faced with doing wrong and needing to be challenged, but those who want to be better and can say, I want to want those things. That's all God needs. I know that can be a little bit confusing, but I already know, you know, your flesh wants things that it shouldn't want. We're all there. Paul was there. The things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. Why is that? But we find grace from God, and if you can say, God, I don't want to want those, that means there's something inside of you that God is working with. When you can say, I want to be with you, God, I want to read my Bible. My flesh doesn't want to read it, but I want to want it. That is all God needs to do something amazing in your life. You just have to find yourself at the feet of the Father. And we're going to get there together, all right? But Galatians really helps to clarify to me when things are getting muddy or you're worrying about your motivations. It says it cuts through the word of God. It is sharp and it discerns your motivations and your intentions. You can't trick God. You can't trick his word. And if you're really honest with yourself, you'll be able to look at even the intentions behind what you were going to do. Oh, well, I didn't mean, you can't say that when you chose to make a decision. There was some sort of intention behind it. So I'm saying if you are in the Word of God and you challenge yourself with this, it will reveal to you. The word shows me who I really am and what I could be and who God is. I want to get better. Do you want to get better? Do you want to grow? Do you want to want more for yourself than maybe where your flesh has taken you or wants to take you? All right, Hebrews 4:14. Let's keep going. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, or your version might say profession, in that spot right there, like a profession of faith. That's not like confession, like I've got a sin to confess, although that's part of it. It's like what I confess is I believe. My profession of faith as a Christian. My next question for you, honestly ask yourself, what is your faith rooted in? What is your faith rooted in? Because let us hold fast to our confession, grab quickly and tightly. This will be the third Sunday in a row that I've got up to preach and use this scripture again. I don't know. The Lord just keeps leading me back to it, but we're going to go to James 1, verses 2 through 4. Three times in a row. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Remember that? Hey. I want to get better. Count it all joy when you go through trials, guys. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. I don't want you turtling up and hiding from hard times in your life or not dealing with things. Because number one, it's a lie. You don't get better doing that. You stay exactly the same, and how you are is broken and in need of God. But number two, it's not until you go through these trials that you actually grow, get experience, and learn what you really believe. When it says hold fast to what you profess, you go through something. Have a really hard week. Maybe it's just even one bad day at work. And let's observe. Let's watch from a third-person perspective as we film your life. And we will see exactly what you hold fast to and what you believe in as relief in your life, as the thing that you lean on when trials and troubles come your way. Hold fast to what you believe in. So now we're asking, what do you believe in, and what is your faith rooted in? Well, my faith is rooted in my TV show, and a cold beer. There's more. I'm going to tell you that. There's a lot better, and I don't know where your growth is going to come from out of that. In fact, that sounds like someone's going to stay exactly the same. I'm not saying don't have your hobbies or do your thing. I want it to be dictated by God, and like faith is a... What comes out of you when you're squeezed? That's why he starts this statement, put 14 back up there. It started with, verse 14 in Hebrews. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through these heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Before that, he's highlighting the high priest is Jesus. He's saying, you do understand that we've replaced those imperfect men that used to go before us. The high priest in the past used to have to go before God on behalf of Israel. The head Levite, they made sure the sacrifices and the anointing and all of these things were well, so the sins of the nation were appropriately taken care of and that they were made right in the eyes of God. And those were imperfect people, and we learned through the Old Testament that that wasn't good enough. We're not good enough. It'll never be enough. There'll be bloodshed till the day we die, and it will never cover the sins like Jesus covered the sins. This is the high priest who goes before us once and for all. And he's saying, you have access to him on a daily basis, the one who made a way before us. He's saying, so let's hold fast to that. God, do I really put my faith in you? Or have I just found more ways to be self-reliant and put faith in my own flesh? What does it mean to turn to him? I'm not going to be able to stand before you today and give you all the answers to what you need. You have to go to the Lord and be honest with yourself. It's hard. It's hard. But it's worth doing. And you never regret it. I've never regretted it. Show me, God, what it looks like. What do I grab quickly when things get tough? What is my faith rooted in? And then for my third point, let's read Hebrews 15-16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He is not unable to sympathize with all the things that you're going through. Well aware of every single struggle and problem that you've had. In fact, was tempted. We read over this with our youth recently too, where Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, who for 40 days had been fasting, only some water, no food, but was completely dry. And that's where the devil went to make his move. 40 days of fasting. Do you remember when we did a Daniel fast, a week in, what a slice of cheese pizza looked like to you? Someone in first service was like, 2 days. Love the honesty. And I want to say, like, Jesus was tempted. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All these things will manifest, and it's looking to get you. It is. And the Bible talks about sin as a proactive thing. It's not just a vending machine that you go pick out when you're in the mood to sin. It wants you. It is after you. It's craving. As Jesus was tempted, I would tell you, like, I don't want you to feel bad because you're struggling. I want you to be convicted if you're not going to do anything about it. The temptation is not the sin. And where you do sin, the Bible says a righteous man falls down but gets back up. Where are you growing and what are you doing about it? I've been convicted by that so many times. I don't want you to be condemned for being drawn to what you're drawn to. I want you to allow God to have his full effect on your heart and your life. Verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in that time of need. My third question is, what keeps you from going to the throne of grace? What keeps you from running to that? When you're in your time of need, and remember, mercy is not getting what you do deserve, like the punishment, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. And we find both of those in the comforting arms of the Father. And the Helper is there. Remember, that's the name of the Holy Spirit. I am sending to you the greatest of all helpers. Do you go somewhere that the Holy Spirit cannot go? Have you said, Holy Spirit, get away from me? Those are two different things. Let's simplify our faith this morning. What kind of things do keep you? Is it shame? Is there a problem with shame in your life because of the things that you struggle with that make you not want to go there? Is it pride? You don't want to have to be reliant on somebody? Pride and insecurities that you really have? Usually pride and insecurity go hand in hand. Self-reliance, we talked about that. Are you used to just being the go-to, the make it happen, the I don't need? How has that worked for you? Maybe it's just a doubt thing. need your faith to be challenged. You need to look at what you've really been putting your faith in, even if you don't say you have any. Everybody has putting their faith in something. He's the only way. And when you're really struggling and you're telling me you want to be better, it's going to his word and being in his presence and going to that throne room that you can confidently go on as a son or daughter of Christ to get the help you need in the time that you need it. There are so many scriptures that we could read. There are so many things that could be referenced this morning when we're talking about the simplicity and the help that he has, how to overcome temptation and knowing that he will not put you through anything that you can't overcome. Dealing with struggles, the power of the word, all of these things. I'm telling you, if you hide the word of God in your heart, you will be equipped to deal with these things. You'll be able to quickly go to his throne room and get the support that you need. The throne room is here now. The throne room is not just when you have quiet time next to your bed. That is a great place to find a throne room. But what we're talking about is instantaneously finding ourselves being able to be transported into the presence of God whenever something is thrown in your face that you don't want to deal with, know how to deal with, the support that you need. Here's some good news. 1 John 1:9, a couple of encouraging scriptures. You know this one? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's some freedom that you can have if you will just come up and say what you're struggling with. Confess it and move forward. And that unrighteousness that you feel like you've been plagued with and are carrying around, let him deal with that. Romans 8:1. You know this one too. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is good news. And that condemnation does not need to follow you around. You can be free from that. I want you to be free from that. I want you to be able to act and move with freedom and day in and day out as we pursue the heart of God. Are you with me? These are the things that will separate us from everyone else. Someone who's really able to be in the throne room of Jesus. To grow. So let's be honest with ourselves and with God. Let's see what our faith is really rooted in. Let's ask ourselves this question. And let's be real. When we're struggling, what is standing in the way of you going to the throne room? There are believers that want to unite with you and pray with you, but I want to tell you, throughout the week, even if you're not able to get a hold of one of those believers to stand and pray with you, you have access to the Heavenly Father. I want to encourage you today, if you've never taken that step to submit yourself to God, today's the day you can do that. I want to see growth in my life. I want to move past the sin that so easily besets us, like Pastor Ron talked about. I want to grow past that. I want to be better. And I know that I cannot do that if I just keep wrestling with my own stuff and I don't do anything about it. So let's grow past it. That's all I got. That's it. Pretty simple, and I think the gospel is really simple when it comes down to it. So stand up, let me pray for you really quick. And I want you to come get prayer if you need it. If you need to confess some things you're struggling with, let's do that so there's no condemnation in your life. Let's thank him for all of the unrighteousness he frees us from. Let's be moved by his presence and by his word. If you need to give your life, today's the day. You can come up and say, I want to give my life to Jesus, and someone will be very happy to pray with you. But God, right now, I just pray so much for your grace right now, Father. Thank you for your love. I pray, God, that you would remove condemnation, but move us with conviction. Give us such a hunger for your word, God. Let us be able to ask these three questions of ourselves super simply, God. Give us clarity. And right now, I ask for that. I don't want you to have an emotional reaction today. In fact, before all the emotions and feelings of the week come creeping in, I want to have this moment of clarity for you to say yes to the things that God wants you to say yes to you, for you to be able to grab a hold of victory, of confidence, of being in his presence, of hunger in his word, of concrete steps that you can start taking to grow where you need to grow. We're not making excuses, God. We're aware that our flesh is in the way, God. We're aware that my struggles are not new and unknown to you. That's not how this works. Thank you, God, for seeing us where we are, that at our worst, you still chose us. You love us. You meet us where we are. We are forever and ever grateful, God, for all eternity. Draw us close to you and let them have an amazing week and a protected week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Please come get prayer if you need it and make time. Read your Bible. You can do that. Just a little bit.